Should I get started? Yeah, I guess it's the end of a long day, so thanks for staying back. This talk is basically there's a lot of overlap with whatever the first speaker did for this particular session, which is basically trying to find out if basically we can have different background models for different sets of speakers. And the way we are proposing, at least in this paper, is that we can have speakers clustered according to the vocal tract lengths. And also another way of doing it is trying to use a similarity between the MLLR matrices. And we show that using a few sets of these speaker clusters, we can obviously get some improvement in performance as opposed to using a single UBM. So the overview of the talk is pretty much as I've indicated. One is to give you an overview of the conventional speaker verification, where we often use a single background model, and then motivate the reason why we might want to use speaker cluster-wise background models. And there are two ways that we could do the clustering, at least in this paper that's what we are suggesting. One is to use the vocal track length parameter itself, and the other is to use a speaker-dependent MLLR matrix super vector. And then we show how we can build background models for each of these individual speaker clusters, and then we compare the performance first with a speaker, a single gender-independent UBM, and then we compare it with a gender-dependent UBM and a gender-dependent speaker cluster model. As I said, some of this overlaps with what the first speaker actually gave. So as we've been pointing out, it's basically a binary decision problem. So given the test feature and some claimed identity, we're trying to find out if the identity, we compare the log likelihood ratio with the claimed model and an alternate model, and see if it's beyond a certain threshold, then we accept it or we reject it. And so often the question is, what should be the alternate hypothesis? One, of course, is to say that, one is to say that the alternate hypothesis is a universal background model, which is a single model that we will use for all speakers in the database. Then there are other approaches where we have a set of speaker models or cohorts that are close to a particular speaker, so we take a linear combination or some combination of these scores, or we could build a background model for using these cohorts itself for that particular speaker. So one has one background model for all speakers, the other has a background model for each speaker. The other way of doing it is to have some compromise between the two, which is to say that I'll have a background model for a group of speakers, and then the question comes, how do I group these speakers? So we're proposing two different ways that we can group the speakers. One is basically using the vocal tract length parameter, and the other is to use a speaker-specific MLLR matrix. So this is the basic idea that we're talking about. So instead of using one background model and then comparing the likelihood with that background model and corresponding speaker-trained model, we actually have different sets of models for different speaker clusters. And so the how we're going to build these speaker cluster background models is what we are, what I'm going to be talking about in the next few slides. And the speaker clustering itself is basically done using either vocal tract length parameter or the maximum likelihood MLLR supervector. So the idea, the motivation for trying to use vocal tract length parameter for speaker clustering is because if, basically the physiological differences in our vocal tract is going to give rise to some differences in the spectra. So what's shown here is obviously in the dotted line is a male speaker and the solid line is a female speaker. So there are differences in the spectra for the same sound for the simple reason that the physiology of the production system are very different for a male speaker and female speaker in terms of size. And therefore, we assume that if a group of speakers have a similar vocal tract length parameter or similar physiology, then probably they've produced very similar set of spectral characteristics for a sound. And therefore, we can group these speakers together and assume that they have very similar characteristics in terms of features that they produce for a particular sound. Obviously, when you do VTLN, we do not have a reference speaker. and therefore one has to use some sort of a model, a reference model, if you will, and therefore we are trying to use the background model itself as a reference model against which we are going to score different features warp with different warp parameters and choose the one that is the best for that. So each speaker basically is his or her vocal track length parameters estimated with respect to the background model. This is similar to whatever we do in speech recognition too, where we use, instead of the UBM, a speaker independent model. The other way that we could possibly classify speakers into groups is to use the MLLR matrix itself, there have been lots of evidence that MLLR does capture quite a bit of information about a particular speaker. So we stack the columns of the MLLR vector matrix to form a super vector, and then we do a very simple clustering of these MLLR super vectors among the speakers in the database by using basically k-means algorithm and just using a simple Euclidean distance to cluster these different speakers. So given the UBM and the speaker training data, we get MLLR matrix for each speaker. We stack the columns to form a super vector. So this identifies, this characterizes a speaker, and then we group the speakers depending on the clusters that are formed by this MLLR super vectors. So so now that we have sort of grouped these speakers into different classes, we build a different background model for each of these group of speakers. And what we have done here is to just basically use a simple MLLR adaptation of the UBM model to get a new set of means for the each of these speaker clustered background models. So each of these speaker clustered models are got from the UBM by just a transformation of the mean. And these are estimated, the transformation matrix is estimated by using all the data from a particular speaker cluster. So that's what is written here. So given the UBM, you form for each cluster its own background model. So this cluster could be based on either using VTLN as a parameter. So cluster 1 will correspond to one alpha, cluster N to another alpha, or it could be a set of MLLR clustered speakers. So this is the implementation aspect. So given the UBM, first I do an identification of each of the speakers in the database and find out what is the corresponding VTLN parameter. So let's say if I'm looking at the VTLN parameter 1.20, I find that speakers 3, 4, 6, all of them have this parameter, so I group them together. Similarly, if I'm looking at the VTLN parameter 0.82, the speaker IDs with 2, 8, 9 possibly belong to this, so I group them together. And then using this group of speakers, I transform the GMM UBM to form a background model, which basically is an MLLR adaptation of this particular group of speakers. And then I do the individual speaker modeling by doing a map adaptation. So this is the background model. And then from the background model for each of the individual speakers, I use their corresponding data to do map adaptation. So the same idea can be used for if I had used clustering of speakers based on MLLR itself. So if you look at the test phase, they are almost similar to whatever the conventional case is, except there are two small differences. So given the test utterances, I find the likelihood ratio by comparing with the speaker model and the background model. In the case of the conventional case, this will be one single UBM sitting, and the speaker model is got by adapting this to get the particular speaker model, and then I do a threshold-based analysis whether to accept or reject. The exact same steps, but slightly different models are used here. Here, the background model is actually built specifically for that particular speaker's cluster, and then the speaker model is got by adapting this SCUBM, so I have the speaker model that's slightly different here. And then again, I do a log likelihood ratio test. So basically, both these systems use identical computation costs, except that the models are slightly different in what we use for the background. This is just a standard database that we use. I think it's a NIST 2002 for background modeling. And the evaluation is one side train and one side test of NIST 2004. So what we notice is that depending on the number of VTLN clusters that we form, you know, depending on how many alphas that we allow, we see that as the number of clusters increase, you do see some decrease in the EER. So this is what we would get if you use a single gender independent UVM. So this is the EER that you would get if you used VTLN, and this is the EER that you would use if you used MLLR based speaker clustering. We find that MLLR works slightly better than VTLN, but both of them give significantly better performance than the single UBM based method. The same thing holds true for the minimum DCF also. So there are a couple of things that you notice. One is both of them, both VTLN and MLLR give you some improvement in performance as opposed to a single UBM, and MLLR performs slightly, sometimes quite significantly better than VTLN. And what you find is that 14 and 5 are the parameter clusters that give the best performance. And this is the corresponding debt curve, so which again shows that MLLR is doing much a little better than this black curve, which is got by VTLN clustering. And the blue one is the regular single UBM-based verification task. So the question that we asked is, why is MLLR performing better than VTLN? And so what we did is, I mean, there were lots of other information that was available. So, but if you look at the black and the white at the bottom, the black corresponds to basically having female speakers, and the white corresponds to having male speakers. So here we have chosen 14 clusters, which was the one where we got the maximum performance for VTLN. And you see that there are a lot of clusters where the VTLN has both male and female speakers. So if you look at this alpha equals 1, black and white both exist, which means there are both male and female speakers for this particular alpha. Similarly for 0.98, 0.96. So you see that there is some overlap between the male and female speakers. On the other hand, when we look at the MLLR supervector, and if you look at the black and the white, they're very distinct. There are three that picks up the female clusters as they are, and the two supervector MLLR clusters pick up only the male speakers. So there seems to be quite nice purity in terms of clustering, in terms of gender, at least when you use MLLR supervectors. And we think possibly that's one of the reasons why MLLR seems to be always consistently performing better than VTLN. So we just wanted to go one step further and see if that was indeed the case, then if you separate the clusters according to gender, then would the gap between MLLR and VTLN disappear? Would we get very similar performance using both of them? And that's what the next set of experiments basically indicate. So here what we have done is now we have a gender-wise UBM. So there are two UBMs, one for a male and one for female. So obviously you see some improvement in performance compared to the gender-independent UBM. But also what is useful and what we conjectured seems to be holding true, once we classify, once we just do a gender-wise splitting of the clusters, then VTLN and MLLR gives give almost comparable performance. Still, MLLR is slightly better, but nevertheless, the performance is almost comparable, and the same thing holds true for the minimum DCF also. So the point that we want to make is VTLN, if you use it just for clustering, sometimes gives not so good performance for the simple reason that it picks up both the male and female speakers for the same alpha. But if you do gender-wise clustering, then both MLLR and VTLN give almost same or comparable performance. And in any case, both of these methods, the clustering methods, always outperform the gender-wise single UBM for each gender case. So, and that's reflected also in the debt curve. You can see that both the UBM, both the MLLR clustered and the VTLN clustered, both of which are gender-wise clustered now, have very similar performance, and they always do better than a gender-wise UBM. So the bottom line is that if you are willing to increase the number of background models, and they are not much, we find that you get reasonably good performance if you just use, I think, something like two males and two females clusters, you get some gain in performance, both in the case of gender-independent and gender-dependent case. The computational cost, at least at test, is the same as a single UBM because we just are comparing with two models. MLLR supervector performs better than VTLN in most cases, but the gap is narrowed down if you're willing to use gender-wise speaker-clustered models. So that is it.
We have time for one last question.
You cluster the speakers so that they use a different UBM depending on who the training speaker is, right?
Pardon?
So you have a bunch of training samples.
Yeah.
And you cluster the training speakers, so one training speaker only has one, is associated with one UBM.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Okay. But now on test, when you have a new sample, if you're doing, are you talking about a speaker, whether it's speaker verification or, I see, your speaker verification task, you have one particular person only,
and then his particular
and you only
background.
Use that UBM.
Yeah.
It's not a speaker ID task.
No.
The speaker ID task would be much more expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So here, each speaker has his own associated background model, but it's not each speaker having, each cluster of speakers have their own background models.
Right. Okay, but the reason it's not more expensive is that you're only considering one training speaker.
Right.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, I think there's no more time today. Thank you very much for participating in this session and enjoy the welcome reception right now. Thank you.